In this week, on the 20th of September 1993, Robbie Earl's second half goal was enough for fifth place Dons to beat Manchester City and record their third successive Premier League victory. We should have won by more, manager Joe Kinnear reckoned. These are heady days. My team are a special bunch of players. They're the most committed team I've ever worked with in my time in football. The atmosphere inside the dressing room is electric. They're on fire, ready to explode, and I would like to keep them buzzing. This sounds incredibly familiar. We're on fire. It's a good team to watch. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Welcome, welcome, dear listener, to the same old Wombles. We have another special show for you today. Let me start with some introductions. Welcome to Mon Frere, Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall. You all right?
Back. Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody else who you're about to introduce. And hello, dear listener.
Thank you. And our man with the buttons, the producer. I'm elevating you this week to Professor Adam Proctor. Now, if anyone looks like a professor, Adam, it is you. Professor Adam Proctor, how are you doing?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing well. My professorship obviously restarted this week with new students arriving at my work. So that's, yeah, so I'm basically fried because today was the day that I had to be hype merchant for the entire day and encourage the brand new students to realise they were on a fantastic journey by joining university. So I'm going to make absolutely no sense whatsoever, which isn't not normal.
Are you saying you're making no sense to the students or to us?
To
or both?
Both.
Yeah, both, exactly.
Both.
And what we're doing is I'm what's it called, stalling to allow Mark to put as much food in his face as he possibly can. He's eating and doing the podcast at the same time. That's the sort of people we have on here. Anyhow.
Dedication, that's what you need, mate.
That's the dedication. That our man with all the insights into the football, behind the podcast, behind the team, it is Tall Mark Lewis. How are you, sir?
He's like broken his mic.
His mic's gone.
I know, now his mic's gone.
He's got a new mic that he's doing his best to look like.
And my mic's gone?
No, you're back.
It was all the same thing.
Yeah.
My internet connection is unstable, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Aren't we all?
Absolutely.
Mark does have a headphones that does make him look slightly like a Cyberman. Just putting it out there. But, you know, slightly scary.
So these are the same headphones as recommended by his doctor, Professor Adam Proctor, frankly. Yeah. So it's all his fault.
Adam, are you trying to make the whole population like Cybermen? It's quite scary. I'm not very pro Cybermen. They are one of the most scary Doctor Who creatures.
Okay. Anyhow,
you have to be a person of a certain age to know who the Cybermen were.
He's got a Cyberman. Professor Proctor's got a Cyberman. Anyhow,
I feel like my introduction was completely not heard.
I know you haven't, mate. You haven't introduced you, pal. How are you doing? You're right.
My answer was I dried out just about from being in Doncaster, because we particularly wisely chose to try and get over the emotional trauma of dropping our two children off at university in Scotland and Wales, respectively, by driving from Aberystwyth on the West Welsh coast to Doncaster to watch a football match in the pouring rain.
Oh, mate.
And of course, it was well worthwhile because we won. And I've been to three away games this season.
Yep.
And, you know, we're doing all right, frankly.
Excellent. And I'm really
two, in fact, out of three that we won. So there.
I'm excited that we've got to this stage. We've got to this stage and you've not mentioned Cardiff yet, which is fantastic.
I've been banned from mentioning Cardiff, apparently.
So, no, let's get on to it because that was fantastic.
I've got to say something about Cardiff. They've got a really good academy. You know,
I've heard. Nye, if you've got to tell us at any moment about that, how good their academy is.
Really good. I really like the way their setup is done with their Cardiff academy.
Anyhow,
this is the Cardiff, same old Cardiff.
Anyhow, sock. We are here again. I'm so sorry, dear listener. I don't understand. I'm sure people are just switching off all the time. That's one thing I wanted to say. In the week, someone put up this thing about some great podcasts out there, and they named the three podcasts and
three other podcasts.
Us. Three other podcasts and didn't mention us. Dear me. And I've got to thank Daniel Brett on X for giving us a shout out there. So thank you very much, Daniel, for bringing us to people's attention. Oh, dear me. Anyhow, this is the reason why no one's listening.
This is a bit like the secret footballer, because actually what you've done there, Matt, is you've now named our secret listener.
Yes. Well, today...
That means we have two listeners.
Yeah.
They must phone each other up and just say, right, I'm listening.
They take it in turns.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
I can't listen to the whole thing. Anyhow,
probably three. Somebody came up to me at Reading and complimented me on the podcast, and I have no idea who he is and never met him before. Oh, but he knew you all by name, so...
That's probably Daniel. Thank you very much. I just on to the Doncaster game, if we can get there. So I know some people are going to say this is two in a row, but it's three in a row, isn't it? We've had three wins in a row, if you include the win over the under-21s Cup, which we don't, obviously. No. But it's been fantastic.
You can't have it both ways. If we'd lost four in a row, which included losing in the League Cup and losing in the Stevenage game in the Virtualist Trophy, then which we did, and therefore we were pissed off and frustrated by that, then yes, we can include it. So it is three in a row.
All right, then let's go with that.
Mark.
We can't have this. At some point, we need to start talking about the football.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it.
Thank you, Michael Caine. You're only supposed to blame bloody football.
We're only supposed to make talk football. Lewis, how was the game?
Dire. I have to say, we love Jackson, and he's a winning manager, so let's not knock him. But for him to say he loves watching our team is a little stretching reality, I think. I love the heart and the soul and the determination of our team. The way we play... And actually, on Saturday, the way anyone was trying to play football was quite painful in the eye, frankly. Although, frankly, Doncaster's main tactic was playing 60-yard long balls up to a 5'9", 36-year-old in Billy Sharp, who frankly got absolutely nowhere. So that was quite nice to see. But we stuck at it. And despite the fact that there were five whole sectors of the Doncaster ground with zero fans in whatsoever, making it, frankly, an atmosphere-less, whatever the opposite of atmosphere-full or even atmospheric stadium is, then that's what they had. Delightful for us. Very, very wet, but well-deserved. And we scored both goals down our end. And we scored from set piece.
How big is Doncaster Stadium, then?
Well, I was speculating that it was about 20,000. Apparently it's 15,000, but they had less than 8,000 in the stadium there. They had no one in the front three or four rows because it was raining. I mean, like it never rains in Yorkshire.
They were retreating from the rain, I assume.
There was probably space in the away end to have filled, I would have said, about 1,500 fans. We took about 420, 450, which is frankly absolutely outstanding, considering the last long away game was Bolton and we were shit at Bolton. So,
but mate, it sounds like a, you know, from all I was hearing, it still sounded like a good performance. We put in a good shift. We came away with the 3 points, which is absolutely fantastic.
And the goals came not from strikers, you know, because again, Omar put in a great shift. As I said before, without Omar in the team, we don't hold the ball up so well. We don't link things so well.
Really?
But Omar does not look like...
Wait. Slow down, Mark. Let's just revel in that moment.
Can't believe you've done that, Mark.
Excellent. Amazing.
If you let me finish the end of the sentence, then that actually caveats it properly. Yeah. And then we can actually bring our guest in, who's waiting patiently from the other side of the world.
No, I think that with our guest, we're just gonna talk for an hour, and right at the end,
bring her in.
Omar does not look like he remembers how to score goals. I have to add, sadly, for Adam's benefit.
Oh. Adam, we're so sorry to knock you, but later on in this podcast, we're going to boost your.
That's going to be a clip. When I figure out how to do a clip show, that's going to be a clip, because at the end of this season, there's going to be loads of goals coming from Omar.
I am currently waiting for the 5 minute of this podcast where Adam does his Omar song about how great Omar is. Yeah. We were just listening to it.
Oh, my Lord.
Limerick that he's written is amazing. So all of our listeners.
Excited. Anyhow,
can I just say, coming California, time is
to Omar.
And now we're delighted to welcome our special guest back on. There's not many people who get to be on twice on Save World Bubbles podcast, and the reason is they don't want to. They usually disown us. But Trisha, for whatever madness, welcome to you from the other side of the world. Well, the other side of the pond. How are you doing? How's it all in what I'm going to call sunny California?
It is hot. It is hot. I'm an American, so don't ask me what Celsius is. But today is predicted to be over 100 degrees for the several day in a row, as it so often is here. It's fine.
That's right. The last time we talked to you, there was wildfires going on.
Yeah.
Please tell me there's no fires. And you're safe.
But I am safe. Couldn't say there's no fires because there probably is, but there are no large fires. There are no worrisome fires at the moment, because that's a spectrum that we have here in California. Sometimes you just have wildfires, and that's just a thing.
I love it. I love the fact that that's your weather forecast.
Yes.
It could be sunny and hot, mild clouds and wildfire. It's just anyhow.
Not too bad. Only a couple. Nothing
only a
serious.
Couple. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's a few.
Yeah.
You have to scroll quite far on the weather app to see how many fires are happening.
Yeah,
exactly. That's it. It'd be like, you know, when we get out like 24-hour forecast, when you scroll through and be like, yeah, 3 o'clock sunny, 4 o'clock sunny, 5 o'clock sunny, 6 o'clock mild fires,
wildfires,
8 o'clock fire engines, 9 o'clock water out, 10 o'clock sunny. Yeah. That's how it happens.
So Trisha, to take your mind off the wildfires, have you been following us? Have you been watching the games online? How's it looking from your side of the pond?
Have you got into trouble with missing school education? Anything like that recently?
With the games at 11 instead of, which my time, so 7 year time, instead of 7:45 or 11:45, it actually is in the sweet spot of me being able to watch with minimal interruption to my work. I mean, educating students. So that's convenient for me. When we have the early kickoffs on Saturdays, those are 4:30 in the morning. So this Saturday is a 4:30 in the morning.
Break
for
on
me.
Through, break on through. I mean, come on, 4:30 a.m. to watch Women in Wickham. What else would you want to do?
And I've got to say that we all love that. We all love that Sky or whoever it is in the States have decided the best thing to do is put our games on Saturday lunchtime. It makes total sense. We know there's people around the world going, this is the game that I want to watch.
If you're going to a music gig in the evening, it's not bad, because it means you can go home and freshen up. So that's the only thing I can do with that one. And obviously the 7 o'clock kickoff, that is probably for you, Trisha, is probably about the only time I've ever thought the trophy has any fit purpose. If that's it, that actually means you can watch the game in your sweet spot. Then that is probably the only benefit I can see of that particular trophy. But there you go. At least there's one now, because there wasn't any before.
One.
So big up to the timetabling to help our California supporter base watch the games.
I think we should probably rewind and ask Trisha about how she ended up at the playoff final and whether or not she's actually divorced yet as a consequence.
That is a very good point. We've been following you on Nazi X, so we know what's been going on, and I'm excited. So go through the story. You've got yourself. Go through the story. Tell us about getting into the playoff final.
And
any promises you made.
Oh gosh. So I threw everything at the wall. I was willing to take, my husband is I'm the cook, he's the clean. I was willing to take on the clean. I was whatever I thought I could get away with, I bargained. And then finally I locked on, begging and pleading. And I said, well, what if we go to the playoffs, but we don't go in 2016? We bought a house in 2023 and he wants to do boring stuff like get the air conditioner fixed because previously as discussed, it gets 100 degrees Fahrenheit here.
Why would you need air conditioning? What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
things like that. Nothing I offered was relevant until John Green posted a video about how it had been 9 years since we were last in the playoffs. Who knows if we'll ever, of course we'll be in the playoffs again. But at the same time, who knows when that will be? Like, if it's 9 years from now, I'll be almost 50. I'll be a totally different person.
We know all about that.
Yeah, Joe, be careful on what you say about 50-year-olds.
A different person. Yeah. Take that as you will. And the reality of life will be very different. And who knows if I'll have that opportunity. And John was just throwing it all out there. And when the video was over, Marcus turned to me and he said, all right, let's go to the playoffs. Yeah. So, and that was Tuesday.
Oh, I've never met Marcus, but I'm liking him quite a lot.
Yeah, he sounds great.
I've got to say, to be honest, I mean, that's great of John Green because he's obviously a regular on the show.
Yeah, he loves. We can't get him off.
Standing joke. Now, carry on. This was only like 3 days before the game, right?
So, yeah, so it's Tuesday. So we make our arrangements.
What? It is 3 days before the game. How the heck do you book planes, hotels? With that short amount of time, that's insane.
I think you use the internet, Adam.
Do you know what, Max? What's strange is, like, if only Adam was, like, kind of really good on computers and IT stuff.
Oh,
that
would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That would
be, shut up and let the lovely American lady talk.
Thank you,
No. So that was Tuesday. I booked everything Wednesday. I found a room that was way too good to be true, and for an amazing deal. And then airfare was quite reasonable. Well, I wouldn't call it cheap, but it was Tuesday, it was Wednesday, and I wanted to be there Saturday. So beggars choosing, etc. I had to talk to my boss because as a teacher in the United States, it's against my contract to take what we call recreational days. During the school year, I can take sick days, I can have a medical appointment, I can take care of things, etc. But you can't have fun. That's not allowed during the school year. So I had to go to get to my, so I had a choice. I could either pretend it never happened and never post on social media or tell my coworkers about it or ever say anything about it. Or I could talk to my boss and see if she would go for it. And I decided that there was no way I was not going to talk about it. So I was just going to have to see. I went in on Thursday and I said, well, my plane takes off tomorrow, Friday. I need this time off from work. And she said, mind you, this is the last week of school here in America. So my plane was going to come home Tuesday and graduation was Wednesday. And I teach at the highest level of high school. So like these are students getting their high school diploma. So all she said to me was, as long as you're at graduation on Wednesday, we're good. So she let me go. And then we ended up, we were right next door to Wembley in some miracle of miracles. Yep. So we got to enjoy several crowds of fans and hear the noise from Wembley right there. And it was an easy stumble from Wembley back to, we tried out Box Park. It was quite loud. So we weren't able to stay very long at Box Park. It was so loud.
Is that before or after? Because we tried to get in after and we couldn't get in. They wouldn't let
us in. We were able to get in after.
Oh,
and then we didn't end up staying for very long. So, and then we flew home Monday. And so one of the things I said to Marcus was, we will focus on other things in 2026. And then International Wombles Weekend gets announced. And that's my 40th birthday. There are so many weekends in the year. And it had to be my 40th birthday. And now I'm looking at the table and of course we're going to the playoffs again. So I'm going to have to go to that. And I just don't know how a woman's supposed to keep promises around here when the Dons hate her marriage.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just the way that we work.
Well, we've turned Marcus into a woman's fan now, haven't we? So,
I mean, it could be how difficult. It's got to be how difficult it is for the Wimbledon in sporting history to have to find out the date of your birthday and then plan to have it on that particular day. I mean, that's a lot of effort, and I've got a big up to John Lynch and the boys there for doing that. You know, that's a real achievement, and it makes your birthday special, Tricia, because there'll be people flocking from all over the world to celebrate your birthday. So I think anybody who goes in there, raise a glass, buy a pint for Tricia. The plan is that obviously she shouldn't be allowed to be standing at the end of the game because she should be completely paralytic, and that's fine.
I accept this.
That's great though. So let me see. You got in. You flew in on Friday. You were. What were the games? There was the game on Saturday. So you'd see the Charlton fans coming past you, and then obviously us on Saturday. And then you left before the Monday game.
Yes. No. Monday was when our game was.
I'm glad you were paying attention. I mean, you were there after all, you know. Were you there?
It was a very, very busy time that weekend, you know. And I'm forgetting that we were in League Two. That's why the game was on the Monday. So, you know, we're a League One side.
We 100% are, in fact, that thing.
Yeah.
We sure. That was the greatest. Oh my God. I've seen us at King's Meadow. I thought that was the greatest. Then we had our first experience at Plough Lane, and I thought that was awful. We lost 3-2 against Salford. I don't want to talk about it. But Boxing Day. I thought Boxing Day at Plough Lane was going to be the greatest match I would ever see, and then I saw us win at Wembley, and it was unspeakably joyful.
Oh, I was so pleased with that, and brilliant you're coming back again this season. So, but have you been watching any of the games this season so far?
Oh yeah, haven't missed a one.
Brilliant. What do you make of it? What do you think? What do you think so far?
I don't want to bring us back to a controversial something something someone said earlier, but how about Omar Bougiel? What a guy.
Oh my God. Don't, Trisha, you'll start him off.
I'm going to be quiet.
I'm in the minority, I guess. I thought he had one of his strongest games this season. It's so far last game. Well,
absolutely. Yeah.
The man is God, I love him. I would do anything for you, Omar Bougiel.
You'll have a fight with Adam about that, Tricia. So you have to be careful.
I thought Bolton was so bad. I regretted waking up in the morning.
Oh no,
that was a rough one. Was rough.
Yeah.
That was rough. But I don't. I'm not a person who cares what pundits say, but the fact that we were so universally ranked as last, I was like, I didn't want to be naive, but I was like, I don't see it, and I'm seeing it less and less every game. Although I'm not among those who think we were unlucky to lose to Bradford City. I think losing to Bradford City is a thing that happens. They are at the top of the table. We are not at the top of the table. We're not going to be at the top of the table. So that's how tables work. But other than that, I've loved us. Can Marcus Brown learn to pass though while he's away? I hope he's doing passing drills
And tackle possibly. Just saying, you know.
Yeah, it is a thing.
He can tackle, just not legally, that's all, and not really fairly or in any way kind of properly.
But here's the maddest thing about Brown's tackle, right? Brown's tackle was done in a losing cause, clearly. On Saturday, we played almost fishball, as my daughter would call it. There's an immortal game. You talked about King's Meadow, Tricia. There was an immortal game at King's Meadow against Fleetwood about 5-6 years ago, maybe more. where basically the referee said that he would have called the game off, but Fleetwood were winning, and therefore he didn't think it was fair to penalise one team because they were already winning, as opposed to penalising us, the opposition, for not actually being able to play at all because the ball could not roll. Now, on Saturday, it wasn't quite as bad as that, but people were just aquaplaning in terms of trying to make challenges overall. And yet, somehow, neither side completely messed anything up in terms of challenges or did anything that would really completely mess up in terms of not clearing the ball because the weather was so bad, except for the Bradford goalkeeper, who was built like a brick shithouse but couldn't pass, which is such a shame at League One level, because if you pass to the opposition, then they will tend to shoot straight past
Mark,
you.
Mark, was that was that our goalkeeper or was that their goalkeeper who
goofed up on the kicking?
So I'm just checking out who
Bishop was fine. No. Bishop was absolutely fine.
Was Bishop's kicking good? I was just checking on this, Mark. Yeah, he's done well, hasn't he? He's done all right.
On this podcast, he's slightly critical of Bishop's kicking.
Wow,
I'm not quite sure with this. Mark,
who would you prefer? Who would you prefer in goal for us on Saturday? Would you prefer our keeper or the Doncaster keeper? Who would you prefer in goal for us?
Most definitely, Nathan Bishop. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the heck? Seriously, you guys are obviously picking on me. However,
Adam.
No. Because what we will find?
Adam, you're coming over all Cardiff on me.
No. In the YouTube, which Bishop is on, he talks about the fact that his kicking is not the best. And he makes direct reference to that. So he knows what I know, which is his kicking is not the best.
Except actually, in the games that we've seen since you pointed this out, he's been fine. Thank you.
Well, he clearly listens to the podcast. He's figured out that he needs to be better.
The only one.
And Tricia.
And the Don's Trust board listened to the podcast because they made that like change because of what we said. Clearly.
Not this one.
Exactly.
Now, listen.
Maybe they're not the best people to ally ourselves with right now.
Why do I even come on this podcast? Why am I even here?
Just because you do. You press the buttons. Yeah, you can't miss it. You're essential. So I want to say, Trish, I know you've been following the games. Have you also been following the Don's Trust elections, the Don's Trust board elections? Have you been paying attention here?
This is really important, Trisha, because we're about to give you a 10-point quiz on this, just to see you do a multiple choice quiz on the Don's Trust board elections.
A quiz.
I'm incredibly ready for this quiz. You guys talked about this on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
Because I listen. About how this is it, the wait for episode 3 makes sense now that all this is happening.
Yeah.
Because this is the drama that only AFC Wimbledon can give you.
Yeah,
you can't
exactly.
Get this when Ryan Reynolds is your boss.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. Get on it. Not Disney, because we're not aligning ourselves there anymore.
No.
But you know,
no.
Netflix. Come on, Amazon, pick it up. This is the reason why you can't get this drama anywhere else. It's been fantastic. And so this week, all the Hustings have come out. So and a big thank you to Graham Stacey. Once again, I'm asking this question. Is there anything that Graham Stacey can't do? Do you know what? I'm thinking we're going to have a challenge against Stacey just to see if there's anything he can't do, because that man just does everything. The pitch blows up. He raises the funds to do it. We need some more money for the January. He works with our professor here. He set us up the We Are Wimbledon Fund, and now he's running the Hustings. The man just he just thinks Wimbledon all the time. It's incredible.
Slight caveat, he didn't set up the We Are Wimbledon Fund. It was already there in place. He helped to revive it.
I'm just saying. He revived it. My view is that I think we need to end the podcast every week, Matt, with Same Old Wombles challenge to Graham Stacey.
There's got to be.
This week, Graham is going to do this. So while we're doing this, I'm going to have a think about this week's challenge for Graham Stacey.
Our challenge, Stacey. I like it, Niall. You get
challenge
on that.
Okay.
So anyhow,
okay,
on to that.
No, mate, wait a second, just because I think it's important, because it wasn't just Graham that sorted out the Hustings. It was Jude Turner as well, who'd done a load of work. I was asked to do some stuff. I said I'm really busy because of the start of term. And so I was kind of allowed not to do stuff. So yeah, it was Graham Stacey and Jude Turner.
Sorry, you were allowed not to do stuff.
Yeah,
you're in his pocket.
I like Trisha.
He does it. You're in his pocket.
Trisha takes her job seriously.
No, but I'm just saying,
the leisure sector.
Yeah.
Here, Adam. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we have to turn to our American friends, and there are some still, particularly in California, right? See, they're taking the education of our world seriously. Thank you, Trisha. We appreciate it.
Now, just to get onto these hustings, well, I think the other thing with Graham, which I think is brilliant, he did all the hustings, but I don't know if you noticed this, but these are the things that I pick up on, is that for every single interview he did, every hustings he did, he had a different outfit on. And I just think, did he do it all on the same day? So if you want to, you can just, and you're looking at it and you're going, who's he interviewing? I can let you know that if he's wearing a pink shirt and a suit jacket, he's interviewing Sam Spencer. If he's wearing a black night top, he's interviewing Alex Folks. If he's wearing a waistcoat, it's James Ledwood. Denim jacket, Martin Drake. Blue shirt for Simon Hood. And he does go back to wearing the black Nike top when he's interviewing Chris Atkinson, but he's got wild hair that time. So there's always a different look to Stacey as he's doing the hustings.
You need to get out more, mate. You really do.
No, and it's fantastic. I mean, so
He did the same last year.
It's a deliberate thing. So it's almost like, so you know which person he's interviewing by the outfit he's got. So we know all about his wardrobe from these podcasts. That's what I've learned a lot from this thing. I listen to a lot of them.
Do you think Graham Stacey has a lucky football winning outfit?
I think we need to see it. Yeah, it's got to be something lucky. I don't want to delve too much into it, but it wouldn't surprise me. It was quite interesting.
Football gods, you know that.
It was quite interesting. I haven't listened to them all because, you know, there are some people that we know quite well. But it was quite. It's been interesting, and obviously, what's been going on has been fascinating. So, you know, we've had people drop out of the running. If you can catch them all, if you go onto the Don's Trust website, they'll give you there's a link to it on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/@Don's Trust Hustings. You can find them all there as well. I don't know if any of you have had a look and want to say anything.
No
content. I mean, my sense is, though, it's just a huge thanks for people standing. I think it's absolutely amazing that people have done this. And Trish, you must know this guy, Sam Spencer. He lives in a place called Charlotte. That's got to be around the corner from California, isn't it? Just up the road or something like that. Small
just
little country.
Up the road. Yeah. Just three time zones away.
Yes.
Which
that's like
in America,
next door.
Yeah.
Which in American is totally drivable, so it's fine.
Yeah.
That's a drivable distance in American.
And can I ask you, because I think it's gonna be slightly contentious. I mean, I personally think it's great. And my sense is that I feel that the Don's Trust Board are moving to a place, aren't they, Mark? They probably were by your time, where the meetings are hybrid. So they're not just in person, they're online as well. So people don't actually have to be there in person. Because otherwise that's going to be very tricky for Sam.
Yeah, I mean, obviously from the perspective of Sam or anyone else standing who lives outside the UK, then there's a time zones, which Trisha is obviously showing is overcomable on occasions, depending on everyone's personal circumstances and situations. But yeah, generally speaking, meetings I did, and it's going back 18 months now, but the meetings I did were probably 75% people in the room and one or two others or more, depending on circumstances, doing things online. I once did one thing online and the fire alarm went off in my office while I was doing a meeting, and I had to carry on trying to do the meeting whilst walking through London between Farringdon and Waterloo, which is quite hilarious for everybody apparently on the board. Yeah. But completely pointless in terms of actually trying to contribute, absolutely. Yeah.
And so
I remember Charlie, when I was on the board, we were totally remote then, doing his board meeting while on a bike.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. So what do you think, Trish, about having someone, you know, in the States on potentially on the board?
I to be honest, I when Sam decided to stand, I it was the first time it occurred to me that like that was even an option. Like for some reason, I was in my head, I was like, this is clearly going to be geofenced. You've got to live in the UK if you want to be on the board. So for me, it just felt like such a huge leap for someone to take, and I love that. I love to see that, and I appreciate that that particular voice or perspective will be seen. Although, of course, like I didn't sign up. Like we're Womble, we're international. Like we're worldwide. Of course we are. But like the heart is Plow Lane. So I love this idea of opening it up and broadening it, while still keeping that beating heart right there in Wimbledon itself. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Stings is a word we don't have in America. It's a word I've never heard before until I joined the Dawn's Trust and they were a part of things. So it's fast. This whole process is fascinating to me.
I think this is an announcement of Tricia 26 campaign. It's just started here.
I have been told that is the surest path to divorce. So several tweets have assured me of that is the case.
I think Niall's wife would probably reaffirm that as well. So. And mine, for that matter. And my children. Yeah.
And that's the reason why I don't. But I like it. I like the idea that you get different voices and different perspectives. And you know, we are trying to grow the market outside of the UK. So I think this is a great thing. You know, we've got, as you know, Trish, because you've had to endure listening to our podcast, you know, we have different thoughts about how the structure of it and what we think, and maybe things will change in the future. But it has been a difficult one, and I don't know if that is coming across to you as well. I mean, what have you taken from it so far? What's your thoughts on the shenanigans?
Oh, like the Rule 10, etc.
Yeah.
We want you to know about Rule 10. Do tell us about Rule 10.
Rule 10, etc. is as much as I've got.
Yeah.
I feel like I've read that phrase 1,000 times, and it's like I'm standing at the podium, the lectern rather. Sorry, I'm standing at the lectern at the front of my classroom, and I'm asking my student to repeat what they have said, and they. Or it's nothing's happening. And I just, rule 10. And then they're like, yes, rule 10. Rule 10, no definition, no explication, just the continuous citation of this nebulous rule 10 that exists in a nefarious fog somewhere.
Citation and nefarious are definitely two words we've never had on this podcast before.
Yeah. and you were throwing in one earlier on, Mark. This is going to be the most...
erudite. Yeah, I know.
That's it, erudite. You're throwing those... Because I know you've got your
thesaurus. Erudite, not erudite.
You've got your thesaurus open. But anyhow, sorry, Trish.
No, I was going to say, when I force my students to listen to this, they need to hear all those vocab words in here. So, yeah.
Wow, that is some detention. That is some detention. But anyhow, I'm going to say, to clear things up on this matter, I gave him a very simple task to clear things up and to tell and to give us bring us up to date on the situation and where we are. Professor Dr. Adam Proctor, come on, mate. What's happening?
Oh, my word. I already said before we started that my brain is fried. Where are we now? Unfortunately, it continues to become complicated and muddied, which is frustrating. So we had a statement from the Don's Trust Board, which obviously came out and tried to spell out what actually happened. And if I remember rightly, and I'm not going to look at my notes, they tried to explain that there'd been a bunch of procedures in place and that we were kind of ready for the elections. And then again, I don't want to get wrong, but is it Sean or Shane Bellamy?
Shane.
Thank you, Mark. So Shane Bellamy was not allowed to stand because of Rule 10, which is what effectively a bunch of the Don's Trust statement said. We'd gone through a process, blah, blah, blah. And then
Ian Robinson
put out another statement, who's resigned from the board, explaining that he didn't agree with the Don's Trust statement of affairs and that he still felt that Shane should have been allowed to stand because he'd been in the mediation process, he'd been going through some bunch of stuff, and that, that again, the statement didn't spell out what was correct from his point of view, and also try to indicate that, I don't know quite how to put this really, but the original statement seemed to suggest that everyone could kind of do their own thing, and that the Don's Trust chair hadn't indicated that if you say something anti or if you continue to speak out, you'll be asked to resign, which we kind of understand you can't ask. But again, spelt out that the chair of the Don's Trust board, Angus Fox, obviously, had again had said, if you speak out differently to the current statement, you have to resign because you're not respecting the privacy of Shane, which Shane hadn't said my privacy should be respected. He was quite happy to allow the scenario to be spelt out. So I don't, yeah, it's a, I'm really badly explaining this, I have to admit, because I kind of looked at the statements and I tried to figure out what was going on. And again, it's just quite confusing that the Don's Trust obviously finally made a statement. Sorry, I'll just finish Niall here. But the Don's Trust finally made a statement, which obviously people were waiting for. And then
Ian Robinson
has come back and disagreed with their understanding of the events that happened, and has again said, I don't agree with this, but has also said, I hope not to talk about this again, which probably isn't the case. I mean, the Don's Trust board are not going to make another statement against someone else's statement, I suspect, because that would be ridiculous and they wouldn't want to do that. So it's all got quite confused. And again, it seems to come back to the fact that an individual who wanted to stand, who was going through this mediation process, who was trying to do the right things, got blocked, and Ian is at least one of the members who said, I don't think we've treated that person fairly and we should have allowed them to stand. And that is frustrating. Whether they should have stood or not is up to everyone else. But it sounds quite frustrating, I think, from all angles, which is annoying.
I don't know if anyone here has seen the film The Big Short. Do you know, it's about, you know, the financial crash in 2008. And when it gets to a really confusing point, they try to explain it by bringing in a celebrity who does something really, really simple. That's the bit we've missed here.
So who's going to be Margot Robbie in a little bubble
I think that has to, that in, unfortunately, that was Adam. That was then. That was that moment there. That was our Big Short moment. But sorry, Niall, come in.
So where I'm at with this, because, you know, I've read the Don's Trust board response, and, you know, I've got a lot of respect for what they've tried to do in a difficult situation. There was an ESG meet. There was a meeting where the last year where the ESG's recommendations were all taken on board, and part of that is to be, you know, that element of basically don't be a numpty, right? Kind of that's the element of being and how you.
And that was the meeting in February, correct?
Yeah. So everybody signed up to the meeting in February, which said, like, if you're on the board, don't be a numpty, right? Basically, that's the kind of rules which I like.
Yeah, Trisha, and you'll get that. We're going to give a little glossary of what these words mean, and we'll say what numpty means.
Idiot, basically.
Right. You better guess what numpty means. It's a Scottish word for idiot, really. But, like, my view on that is that in this particular scenario, we've got somebody that people looked into, and the reason they were going for mediation is because they had been such a thing, right? And we've got to be in a situation where we actually all start going, and we want the club to move forward. We want the club to be positive. We're trying to do the right thing. We're not all going to be perfect all the time. But I honestly believe that the Dons Trust board were adamant in trying to do the right thing. And I just have this niggling feeling that this is just about people who don't actually like what the Dons Trust board is about to some degree. And it's a bit like people just throwing spanners in where they don't need to be spanners in. We need to be a bit grown up. We need to be able to think, right, we all love the club. We all want the club to go forward. Kind of a bit like, just get over it, guys. And unfortunately, it's guys. I talked about that as well. I'd rather it was guys and girls and even theys, right? It's not. And so for me, let's just draw a line. It's just completely pointless now. Stop all this infighting. We all want the club to succeed. We all want the club to do that. And I have no doubt that all the people on the board at the moment, and majority of the candidates, actually all the candidates, want the club to thrive and go on. Just kind of grow some, get over it, and let's try and push on and make the club be brilliant. That's what we all want. And I just think this whole debate is just a farce. It's a complete distraction.
Yeah,
it's
but I think I agree. I think there's a, but I mean, I think that there's also that if we'd have just let this guy stand, we wouldn't be in this situation. And if his views are outrageous,
there are rules that are in place. They've done that. They've gone through that process. It's like, really, you know, I mean, that's what happens. You have independent people in there that are looking at this whole thing. The ESG isn't just Wimbledon people. It's overseen quite heavily by independent people, I think from Fulham in this case. And it's always been that case. You know, there are people trying to do it to make sure that it isn't seen that. We're actually doing things governance-wise really quite well. And I think people forget that. You know, it's, you know, there are always going to be troubles. There's always going to be strife. There is at every single club. We try and hold ourselves to the best possible bit because we're fan-owned. I can tell you that other clubs, this sort of stuff would be like, you know, people would just be sacked or whatever.
I was going to say the other thing that James Longhurst, who's obviously on the board, continues to stand on the board, has already put out his own statement about a set of circumstances and has said that he will ask for a completely independent review of our kind of voting process, the ESG process, and he's going to push for that at the next meeting, which I think I don't disagree that I think we've done everything generally right, actually, but he's really going to push for a further independent look at how we kind of approaching. So I think that's great.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that if it's going to provide reassurance and help people draw a line underneath it and get a bit more confidence back in how we operate. And remember, I think we operate really well anyway, but I think if that's what's needed, then great. And well done, James, for putting that forward.
I mean, it's interesting just going through some of the things and hearing some of the complaints that people have. One of it seems to be this real relationship between the PLC and the DTB. And I don't know what you think about that relationship. I mean, it just feel. I mean, is it because it, some people are saying it's like the tail wagging the dog. You know, are we just taking our ones from the PLC rather than the DTB? And again, Trish, at any point,
Want to kind of get some food or anything like that, maybe fix the other side, trick you, anything like that. If we've got too boring, then it's fine.
I think the reality is, you know, it's a cooperative society, so without getting even more bogged down in particularly boring terminology and things, if people have been involved in committees and organizations, there are rules and regulations and so on. It's not a case that everybody always necessarily agrees with them. In our particular case, the constitution of the whole Dons Trust put together in a different time and a different place, so to speak, where we didn't necessarily envisage that we were going to have a club with the size that we have, with the level of turnover that we have, and so on and so forth. So do we need a professional organisation? Yes. Do we have a professional organisation? Yes. Do we have amateurs who are in their spare time to advise things? Who are the Dons Trust board? Yes, we do. However, we also have lots of other professionals as well. So what is the relationship between the two? As far as I know from the time that I was involved in it, which obviously is more than a year ago now, it was conducive and it was sensible. And when there were situations like people were, the club was considering raising ticket prices at the end of the Jackson's first season, when we almost managed to get a double relegation on the cards around the time of that Salford game that Trish referenced earlier. They brought that to the Donsos board, and we basically made it pretty clear that that would be a particularly stupid idea. We didn't quite put it in those terms. We did it in a professional and appropriate manner. And then they went away and came back with no ticket increases whatsoever, for example. Now, obviously, there's lots of other things that have happened since then. You know, going back to Danny Macklin's time, I don't remember the Donsos board being involved in decisions to make the stadium cashless. I wasn't on the board at that particular point. It happened beforehand. That would be the type of thing, if I had been on the board, I would push back on personally. But ultimately, the club has to run the club. People like James Woodruff, as a professional and obviously a marketing expert, need to be allowed to run the club with the appropriate understanding of how things are. I remember having meetings with James when he was relatively recently came on board, and it was clear that either no one had explained to him what the Donsos was or the nature of the fan involvement in it, or he didn't really understand it. And we had some relatively, got to be honest, painful conversations initially. And gradually in time, he got it. And things have progressed since then. But that was an example of people talking to each other and understanding where we're at.
And I think though, that's the one thing we've got to realise is that, you know, ultimately, on bigger decisions, on the main things, the DTB are there to supervise, to have a look over it, an oversight. That's what the DTB is about. And I think people lose that. We're not there for the minutiae, for the day-to-day running. We give that out to the PLC, to the board, to those people who work there to deliver the things on a day-to-day basis. So we can't be going, for instance, we want this catering provider. We want that catering provider there, and we want that other person that, you know, we can't be doing that, because that's getting involved on the day-to-day basis. We can come up with some ideas and whatever and ask the PLC to test them out. And there are some good ideas that have come forward that people have tested out, but we're an oversight. And I think that's what people are losing. But
I was going to say, just to really clarify, because Mark used the term amateur, and I think we want to be really clear about how we use that term. Because it's that term that we use is someone who is unpaid rather than a professional, not incompetent or inept person.
Oh, absolutely. So
I just want to make sure, because people will latch onto the term amateur and think, oh, that means they're not very good at their job. But actually, no, we're talking about a person who is unpaid and is not a professional in that basis, but they are pursuing all the good things that we want to do. So it's not about they don't have the skill set.
No, they've got... There is a professional people that are giving up their time voluntary to be on the DTB, as Trish will be doing next year. Anyhow, so the... hey, papers are out there. But I just want to finish this one little bit on it. So obviously you can go on the Don's Trust board, have a look at the manifestos. Please have a look at the manifestos. Please have a look at the Hustings. But also, I found this other thing that came through to us by Womble World. So, you know, do check them up on X.
Womblewomble.substack.
.com, and then dons-trust.board-elections-a-review. You're not going to do that. Just go onto X and you'll find it. Womble World, or Google them. But what they've done is they have said what tube lines the particular board members are. So you might have a favourite board tube line that you can vote for instead of voting for the person. So, for instance, they've said that Simon Hood is the central line, Chris Atkinson, the Victoria line, Martin Drake, the Metropolitan line, James Ledwood, the Jubilee line, Alex Folks, the Piccadilly line, and you'll like this one, Tris, Sam Spencer is the New York Subway Line 7 train. So that's it. So if you've got a particular tube line that you like, that you can just vote on that basis. But also there, they gave a review of the elections, and this is, I've got to read this paragraph out that was in their blog. And then there's the absence of a certain someone. No, not he who must not be named, but Dr. Adam Proctor. At Womble World, we've grown used to his annual entry about how computer games can fund stadium expansion and conquer the known world. A fever dream of esports and optimism. Without him, Manifesto season feels almost empty. We'll have to comfort ourselves with old Manifesto rereads until next year. So you're standing again, Adam.
I think Adam thing. And Trisha could go on a joint ticket, clearly.
So, Womble World. And I just went, did you write that, Adam? Are you the person behind Womble World?
No, I'm not. I'm not. But whoever writes it, it was very nice. It was very flattering. I enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of satire, and the whole thing is satire, which is awesome. So yeah, I'm a big Private Eye, you know, Have I Got News For You fan. So this made me laugh, and I wasn't expecting to be included in any capacity. So whoever writes that, thank you very much.
Matt's given most of it away, but it's well worth reading. It definitely was a chuckle, as they say. So
definitely have a look through. I've not told them why someone's the Circle Line or the Victoria Line or the Metropolitan Line. So have a look through, because it's a good. It gives a little bit of a brief rundown of the candidates. But I think to get a full idea, you must go to the Don's Trust website and have a look through. So that's what's going on there. But I think it was quite interesting. The hustings people talk about, you know, fan ownership and the importance of that. And obviously, you know, we are pro fan ownership on this thing. And I'm thinking, Trisha, from your point of view, because, you know, I think some people say that we have a sense of PTSD, and maybe we do. And maybe there's a sense that we're like these old voices, of doom and gloom or whatever. But I like to think that fan ownership is that unique thing that we have, that virtually no other club in the football the league has.
The world, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, and how important to you is fan ownership to you?
You know, it's funny. I was just talking to Marcus about this, my husband, and I was like, if we weren't fan owned anymore,
big Wimbledon fan, Marcus, huge Wimbledon fan.
Yeah. Huge Wimbledon fan. Yeah. He, because related to the board situation, right? There, a lot of that criticism, as mentioned previously, was not unrelated to people who just don't like the idea of the board in general. So we were kind of talking about that, and then. He asked, like, what if we sell out? What if that happens? And I instantly, no thought whatsoever, was like, that would make my tattoo very awkward, because I don't like, that's why I'm a fan, because I'm an owner. I'm an owner because I'm a fan. What brought me to Wimbledon is fan ownership, is this idea that we are all in it together, is this idea that we can run a club together, that we can succeed together, that we don't need a benevolent overlord to be successful, to be a community, to achieve insane things like winning the playoffs and going up leagues and becoming professional team again. And like, that fan ownership is everything to me. So I have no PTSD whatsoever, because I didn't know about AFC Wimbledon or at Wimbledon FC for that matter until November 4th, 2013. So to me, Wimbledon FC is always a thing that was a stolen thing. I never got to experience a Wimbledon FC. Like, in a just world, I don't know anything about football, because Wimbledon never moves, AFC Wimbledon never exists, and therefore, why would I care? So it is only in this beautiful, unjust world that I get to have the love of my life. I mean, the second love of my life.
Enough's been said.
You actually said you're supposed to think that, Trish, not say it.
For me, right, that bit there was a brilliant hustings for Trisha 26. That was excellent. Honestly, I would say, Adam, there is a definite clip in that to kind of for the pod, because that was ace, Trisha. I totally agree with everything you just said. That was brilliant.
Vote Garcia.
I think the one thing you're saying, though, is probably right. And I think that's probably why we have, you know, why we have an American fan base, is because people are getting aboard. I mean, you know, John Green obviously is the huge advocate for it. And I think people don't understand that if we sold out to, you know, an owner, and A, you know, people are talking about putting their hands in their pockets. Owners are being asked to put their hands in their pockets all the time. And if they don't, you know, generally you get supporters screaming at them on the sideline. So, you know, if it's all of us doing, all of us putting a little bit in, then we're going to make a difference.
And Matt, I was going to say, I think it's only a small amount of people that don't understand this.
Yeah.
And I think we need to continue to remind ourselves that actually the thing that brings us all together is being fan-owned.
Yeah.
It's a small amount who stress out about selling out. And I have to continue to remind myself, because I get worried about that stuff, that actually there's only a small amount of people that want to sell out, and actually they're never going to beat the 75%.
Yeah, and I think that it is our superpower, and we're not using it as enough. Niall has banged on about this constantly, that we don't use that superpower enough, and I think, and hopefully over time that will change. I mean, the fact that we're fan ownership, the fact that our location does help us, our story really helps us. So. Anyhow, but you all know this. Anyone listening to us, you know this. This is where we stand, and we appreciate it. And obviously, the other thing is that we love all the other things that go on around our club. Zav doing this crazy 92 clubs in 92 days. I'm really interested to know what happens at one particular club. Is he actually going to do all 92 clubs? I can't.
He's already been there. And he didn't go to the ground. He went to the postcode. Want to make a big shout out actually to Mickey Lonsdale, who I saw, who came to the game on Saturday at Doncaster, who has done, and I thought he'd done 3 or 4 legs with him. And he said, oh no, he's doing about 17, which is just ludicrous.
Whoa.
But what was really, really nice is that I don't know how Zav managed to plan it. But wherever he was walking, and I know that he's been all the way up to Barrow and is working his way around the northwest, I think, at the moment. But he was able to have basically last weekend off. So Mickey went to pick him up from wherever he was, and he was at the game at Doncaster. It's the first game of the season he's seen, so that was great for him to see that. His wife was there. His son was there as well, I think, away at university as well. So a bit of a family reunion, obviously, because he's been away for 92 days, which is, you know, best part of 3 months.
Yeah.
That's a big undertaking for anyone, especially in, you know, in difficult times and everything else, especially as a charity thing. So, you know, just an amazing, amazing achievement. I'd love to say I'd have the fitness to be able to do one or two of the legs with him, but I have to be honest and think I wouldn't.
I would love it if a couple of us tried to do at least one leg with him towards the end. I'm totally pro looking at that and thinking, you know, if Zav wants to kind of just say, right, this is the last, I think the last 10 days, if we can find out exactly where those legs are going, it would be great to have a lot of Wimbledon things, which goes on to my today's Stacey challenge.
Well, you know, he's already done it, Nar. Obviously, Stacey's already walked like half of it.
Well, I'm just saying, to Graham Stacey, you have to do at least two of the last week.
Yeah, that's our challenge. Challenge Stacey. Can you do more legs with Zav than the same old Wombles? That's it, because we've got to be in the challenge as well. So, you know, who's going to do more legs with him? Is it the same old Wombles, or is it going to be Graham Stacey? It's going to be Graham Stacey.
If you look at Adam Proctor's face, I'm at the moment going, I think it's more likely Trisha's going to do a leg than Adam.
Hey, Adam, he's going to be around your neck of the woods, Southampton.
Okay, well, tell me, if someone tells me what's happening, I will join.
Yeah.
Niall, you did the research and we'll see that we can actually get
something. Yeah. Anyhow, this is
our... I can't tell us.
Yeah.
No, because I can't figure it out. I'm too busy to figure this stuff out. My brain is
If I can get somebody to tell me what the route is for the Walk 92 or 92 Walk, then I will allocate it to all of us and try and do at least a day.
There's a website and a blog that we can find quite easily about it. That's fantastic news. And the other thing that's coming up, and Trish, you're welcome to come over for this as well. It's another the Big Sleep, number 5 at Plough Lane. So we've got this coming up, and the funds for DLAG. I mean, I admire anyone who does this, but it's
I'm
sleep,
never doing this.
The I sleep did it last year, it's all
sleep
right.
Out in the, is it okay?
No,
you know it. You know what? They brought it forward, which is interesting. It used to be like December, but they brought it into like early or mid November. So
the 5th of November, yeah.
Yeah, there you are. And so, what, bonfire night? There you go, even better.
Yeah.
I'm cold during normal times, let alone.
It's going to be bonfire night. Just have a big fire, possibly not in the stadium, actually. Maybe not.
No. I mean, you're allowed to drink alcohol, obviously, if they keep the pub open. There's lots of people who generally get involved. Obviously, lots of D-Leg stuff get involved as well because it's in aid of their particular cause. I would recommend everybody should do it at least once. I thought I should either do this again or I should do Movember again, which I've done for a few years. So I'm going to do Movember this year. So
you're doing the What We Zap?
Well, I could do that as well, but, you know.
All right, don't try and show us up.
No, hang on.
Okay, so I'm on Walk 92 now, which is literally just walk92.com. It's not that hard to find, really.
No.
For goodness sake, you're such a wind-up merchant.
Why are we doing it? Is that, Adam, you just got... So, but you're luckily, because this is Challenge Stacey, not Challenge Proctor. That's next series. We'll do Challenge Proctor.
But I think this is... It's all there's some great stuff going on around the club, and I think a lot of this happens out of the fact that we are fan owned. I mean, like, all these people, and I know that other 100%. Clubs do these. I know that these other clubs do brilliant stuff as well, and it's going to be fascinating to for Zav. He's obviously going to sit down with someone, hopefully Aaron Paul, and have a big old conversation about what his experience was like and what he found about the place. Maybe we'll have to nab him at some point as well, but it just is. I mean, it is fantastic. And the sleep out is brilliant as well. So anyhow, the big takeaways from today's show, if you've got this far, congratulations. It's just have a look at the hustings, have a look at the manifestos, please vote. And, you know, also support Zav. If you can get along to the sleep out, that would be brilliant. I know Trish is coming over for that. And finally, just to say big thanks to Niall, to Adam, to Mark. We might talk more football next week. And amazing thanks to our special guest who has joined us all the way from the States. God knows why. Trisha, thank you so, so much. It's been wonderful talking to you and having you on the show.
I'll see ya.
My favourite. It's great to be here. What a great time.
Vote Garcia. Obviously, next time your husband has to come on.
Yeah. Sure. Brilliant stuff. Well, great stuff. Brilliant. Thank you all very much. I'm Matt Cooper. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. Traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth if we win.